When we look at this world and we look at different variations, different institutions in life, the thing that always is so interesting to me is that everything is based on evidence. So you take a court case. Someone has been accused for a certain crime. And what does the judge do? What happens in the court system? They are going to look at all kinds of evidences that are with fact. And based on the facts, the judge is going to make a judgment. And the interesting thing to me is always everybody accepts the judgment of the judge when it is based on solid evidence. But the interesting thing is, has that judge ever been at the crime site? And the answer is no, likely not. Has the judge ever been and witnessed the crime itself? And the answer is no. Has the judge ever seen the telephone on which it was based that the person was in certain location? And the answer is no. The interesting thing about all of these things are, even today, we are accepting a lot of things. We believe a lot of things without having seen the first eyewitness evidence. So, Jim, have you ever been in Russia? But do you believe that Russia exists? Yes. And the answer is yes. Martin, have you ever been in Australia? Do you believe Australia exists? Why do you believe that, Martin?
Because others say so.
Okay. Others say so. YouTube, land cards, maps. Things like that, everything shows Australia exists. So if somebody would say to you, Martin, I think it is time for you to go to the psychiatric hospital because you believe in something that you have not seen. When we think about all of those things, when we look at Scripture, Scripture is based on evidence. The existence of God is based on evidence. So we look at Psalms 19. It says, the universe cries out, I am made by God. Romans chapter 1, the whole of creation cries out and shouts, I was made by God. And of course, when we look at Jesus Christ, he is the evidence of God himself. Today, we want to look at a specific scripture found in the book of Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, and we'll start reading in verse 16 through 22. And it says, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he receives from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, when we look at God, when we look at the Scriptures from an archaeological standpoint, everything fits the evidence. So they find certain things, archaeological digs, and when they find archaeological digs, it is always exactly according to the history that we find in the Scriptures. When I was a younger man, and my father told me the Bible, I was always like, why do we have all these names in the Old Testament? All those hard names, all those difficult names, all those difficult places. Why does the Bible have to speak about all of those little incidents about the king, about King David? Why do we have so many numbers in the book of Numbers? Why we have all these list of people? But as we grow in our faith, we come to understand all of those names are there, at least from what they find in archaeological digs, everything fits what is written in the Holy Bible. When it comes to places, everything fits according to the biblical data. So whether you look at Scripture from the archaeological standpoint, everything fits. When you look at it from a science standpoint, everything fits. When you look at it from a geographical standpoint, everything fits. And so even today, there is an abundance of material, of evidence, that shows us God exists, and the Bible is his word. Now, Peter, of course, here in 2 Peter, has another kind of evidence. When he says, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." And of course, this is especially also interesting in light of what he says before, because in verse 12, he says, "For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my disease." So the Apostle Peter, he knew that his end was near. He knew that his end was coming. And before he departed, he had one final important message. And when you look at the book of 2 Peter as a whole, the book of 2 Peter is a book, when you read chapter 2, Gnosticism was trying to creep into the church. Judaism tried to creep into the church. Different things tried to creep into the church. So the Apostle Peter made known to the brethren, don't let yourself be cast astray, because we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Now, when you talk about the word eyewitness here, the word eyewitness comes from a Greek word, apoptes, and this word literally means a looker on. So yes, eyewitness, but when you say the word a looker on, it even goes a little bit further. With their own two eyes, they looked at that majesty of God, of Jesus Christ. The other interesting word here is the word majesty. It comes from a Greek word that is that sounds something like mega liotis. And I say that word with emphasis because it has the word mega in it. Mega liotis. And this word mega liotis basically means magnificent and mighty power. Now then the next question is, what exactly is Peter referring to when he talks about that majesty? When he talked that meganess of God, of Jesus Christ. And of course we know when he says, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now, just take a little bit of a side road. In the book of Luke, Luke also says we were eyewitnesses. But the Greek word in the book of Luke is not the same word as in the book of Peter. Peter uses the Greek word apoptes. Luke uses the Greek word out. Autoptes. Does that ring a bell to some of you? When you hear the word autoptos, what was the occupation of Luke? Doctor. Do you recognize the word autopsy? We use the word autopsy. And this word autopsy, that means self-seeing. Now, when you look at Luke, with Luke, the emphasis is on the life of Jesus Christ. So Luke made an accurate story of everything that Jesus had done, with the emphasis on what Jesus had done as a man. That's where it becomes interesting, because Peter, he saw his majesty. And that is different than just the life of Jesus Christ. Because everybody can live, everybody can do certain things, everybody can do amazing things. But this is something about Jesus, what the Apostle Peter is now emphasizing. We saw his majesty, his mega liotis. And that is what happened, of course, in Matthew chapter 17, verse 1 through 13, where Peter, James, and John went to the mountain together with Jesus. And there, of course, the voice came from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That is what Peter is talking about. And that is what makes Jesus so special. His life was already special, but it was even more special when the voice came from heaven, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And that is what the Apostle Peter is emphasizing here. So Peter says, I have the evidence. I was an eyewitness to his majesty and to his to his greatness, to his godliness, to his godlikeness when the voice came from heaven. And so, when you look at verse 18, it says this, and we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. So they did not only see, they were not only a looker on, they did not only see exactly what was happening. Moses came, Elijah came, and Jesus was there. And then, of course, it says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And that helped them also to understand Jesus is greater than Moses. Jesus is greater than Elijah. Now the time was coming that people had to stop listening to Moses as law, as far as law goes. They needed to stop to listen to Elijah. Now it was all about Jesus, because Jesus came as the fulfillment of the law of God. But now again, it also says they were not only eyewitnesses, they were also ear witnesses. Everything has been given, even today, in order for us to know the story of God is true, to know the story of God is based on evidence. And that is the beautiful thing that we are emphasizing even this morning. Then he goes on and he says in verse 19 through 21, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. What is the apostle talking about? The apostle most likely is talking about the Old Testament prophets. Why do we say that? We say that because what is Peter defending? What is Peter talking about? He is talking about the mega position of Jesus Christ. That is what he wants to emphasize. And he says, we were eyewitnesses and we were ear witnesses. But now, when he says about the prophetic word is confirmed, and again, I say likely this refers to the Old Covenant prophets. Why? What did they do? They talked about the mega position of Jesus. So you start in the book of Genesis, you go through the book of Isaiah, and everybody comes to understand. You might not understand all the little fine details, but when you look at the whole Old Testament, it shows you over and over and over somebody mega is coming, and he is gonna build something that is mega. So in light of these words, I would like to suggest likely it refers to only the Old Testament prophets, because there is a connection between these two. The prophets talked about the mega person with his mega kingdom. The New Testament confirms the mega one came, and the mega kingdom also came. So they are tied together in that sense. And so he says, we have the prophetic word confirmed. So the witness, the evidence, goes even deeper than being an eyewitness and being an ear witness. He says, we have exactly confirmed that is what was written and spoken by the Old Testament prophets. And that, of course, is one of the reasons why the Bible has the evidence in the Old Testament. It gave all the prophecies long before Jesus was born, long before Jesus suffered, long before he was betrayed, long before he did what Jesus came to do. But when you go to the Old Testament, it shows in so many different places all the things that he did into the latest, finest details, how it was prophesied. And that is such a beautiful connection. And that is why even today, my brothers and sisters and myself and everybody, that is why we have a word that we can build on. We have a word that we can trust in. We have a word that is not taken away even by Peter's death or by Peter's going, because he was expecting it. And he said, I need to tell you some things. I have something that is of importance. I need to remind you. He says in verse 15, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of the things after my disease. And brothers and sisters, even today, we feast because of what the Apostle Peter wrote in the book of Peter. And so he says, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. A day is coming. A day is dawning. And what a beautiful day that is. Some people have called it paradise lost and paradise gained. And that is the beautiful thing about God. God loves all people. God wants everybody to be saved. God wants everybody to come to repentance. People wants everybody to come to a knowledge of the truth. God wants everybody to come to faith in Him. And as the Apostle Peter is now speaking, he helps the believers in his time, but by extension, even us, to understand what you are doing, what you have believed in, is something that is based on evidence that everybody can see, that everybody can find out, that can become your life and your heart's story. Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. And so he adds, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So we look at all of these Old Testament prophecies, and we come to understand that is not a human design, it is a godly design. God was speaking. But when we look again at the evidence, that is the heart of what we are talking about this morning. There are so many levels of evidences when it comes to faith in God, but this is one of them. This is one on which true Christianity stands. Those three disciples, they were eyewitnesses of the majesty. They were eyewitnesses of the mega. The mega person came, the mega kingdom came, and now everybody can be translated into that mega kingdom of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, what a blessing. What a joy. What comfort. What hope. People are living in this world and they are saying, what exactly are we here for? People are living their lives searching for answers. Everybody goes a certain way in finding answers. And that is a good thing. Because the Bible even says, you search and you will find. So brothers and sisters, we started by saying everything is based on evidence. That is so accepted in today's world in all things that we are doing. When we look at Scripture, Scripture is based on evidence. God is based on evidence. When God says, believe in me, he doesn't say, just take a jump into the dark and hope that it is okay. God doesn't say, just take a leap into what you cannot know. God doesn't say, just take a leap in what can never be ascertained. God says, trust in me based on the evidences that I have given to you. And so, that is what we can comfort us with even today. When we believe in God, we have a faith that is based on evidences. Because I would like to say too that true love will never ask you to do something out of blind faith. True love will always cause you to believe in something of which there is evidence. And that is what we have, brothers and sisters. We are blessed. We have all things that are good because God is the maker of everything that is good. God is still the maker of all good gifts. And he wants to share it with all people. Amen.